Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks with our guest all the way from Israel, Rabbi Moshe Rothschild. We were talking about the horrible things. Now, I think Satan's behind it all. I think he was behind it all to try to wipe out the Jews. So much that I've studied about during the Tsarist Russia, all kinds of things. But your own family experienced this in the Holocaust. Would you tell us about what is it like? What does it feel like? What do you think?
Right. Well, as growing up here in the U.S., I'm 44 years old. As a child growing up in the 70s, being in elementary school, in the 80s, being in high school, you're really breastfed on stories of the Holocaust as a child. It's such an important part of our understanding of ourselves as Jews, the Holocaust. And it just can't be avoided. And I have many family members, including many family members from my wife's family that were just obliterated. Families just obliterated. My wife's grandparents had 6 or 7 siblings. They were all killed. They were the sole survivors from their families. It's just hard to imagine. I've been back to Poland many times. I guide adults and I guide children.
You are
there.
A guide by profession.
I'm a guide by profession, one of the things I'm working on. And when I go to Poland, I always bring a blow up, a big picture of my children. And when we go to Birkenau, which is one of the death camps of Auschwitz-Birkenau, where they were killing about 10,000 people a day, mostly Jews died in Birkenau, right next to what is the destroyed gas chamber is a big pit. It's called the Ash Pit, where they would, after the Nazis would gas the Jews, they would burn the bodies in the crematorium. And what do they do with the ashes? So there's a huge ash pit there. You can still see bones in it. So I take the groups I'm with, sometimes kids, sometimes adults, we stand around the pit and we say the memorial prayer for the dead. But what I think for me is the most moving thing that I cannot stop myself from just bursting out in tears and crying is I take out a picture of my children, because to me that is the ultimate answer.
Yes, it is.
The children. I'll tell you a very moving story. My wife's grandfather, who is a survivor of the Holocaust, came to this country. But when he was in the DP camps, the displaced person camps after the war, first of all, he went back to look for relatives. He went to his hometown in Poland. And when he got there, all the Jews who were scattering all over Europe trying to find relatives were sleeping in a synagogue just outside his little town in Poland. And that night, they were all sleeping there, and he found a cousin, and they embraced. They hadn't seen each other for years during the war years. And that night, as they were all sleeping there, some anti-Semites lit the synagogue on fire.
This was after the war.
This was just days after the war ended, and they were there looking for relatives, and they ran. They each thought, my wife's grandfather and his cousin, each thought the other were killed in this blaze and didn't find each other again until 1985.
From 1945 to 1985.
There was a conference of survivors of the Holocaust, and that's where they saw each other again. So he survived and came to the U.S. There was not a night, and I was very close to him, not a night that you did not hear him screaming, literally screaming every single night. And we don't know. He didn't talk too much about it. Told a little bit, but what was locked in the recesses of his mind, what he saw, mm-hmm. screaming. Now, when he was in the DP camps, they had to fill out papers where they wanted to go. Now, about 2 years ago, we actually got a copy of that. We had not seen it before. My mother-in-law sent it to me in Israel. She emailed it to us as an attachment. I looked at that paper, and on the top of the paper, it has his name. The Nazis kept excellent records. They had everything. So
yes.
It had his name. They're very known for that. And in the camps, they asked him, where are you from? What country are you from? And he just writes, stateless. Although he was from Poland, he didn't want to write that anymore. And then it says, where would you like to go? And he wrote Palestine, because it was not even the state of Israel, had not been founded. It was still called Palestine. He writes Palestine. And my hands were trembling as my wife and I were looking at this, and we started to cry. He never made it. He went to Columbus, Ohio. But here we are, a family, Jewish family from Florida, his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, now living here in the state of Israel.
In the land.
And filling that dream, you know. And he never could have imagined, as he was working literally to the bone in Birkenau, And in he was in about 13 different camps in Buchenwald, from camp to camp. He couldn't have imagined surviving one day, let alone imagine that his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, would be living in an independent land.
Now, isn't that something? He himself was trying to survive one day. And now,
in his wildest imagination, I want to share with you one other story, if
you'll
let
yourself.
Me. His brother, my wife's great-uncle, who just passed away at the age of about 91, 92, we called him Uncle Itcha. Itcha is like a nickname for Yitzchak or Isaac, Itcha. And Uncle Itcha was by trade, he was an engineer before the war. And he was around 18, 19 when the war hit. He had learned engineering in school when he was young. He was very intelligent. During the war, he was in a work camp. It was a death camp. And they brought him to the gas chambers and they slammed the door shut. And at that point, they knew they were about to die. And he started to say the Kaddish, which is the memorial prayer for himself. Mm-hmm. He started to recite Yitgadal, Yitgadash, Shemei Rabbah. That's what you say for a dead relative that passes away.
Oh, he's saying
it for himself. He was saying it for himself because he knew he was about to die. Suddenly the door opened and he heard the Nazis calling his name. His name was Yitzhak Cooperberg. And they called him out. And literally at the last moment, his life was saved. They said to him, "We heard you're an engineer. We need you to help with the war effort. We need you to help fix airplanes." So the Nazis brought him. And by his own admission, he told me he was working on the fighter jets. He says not one gun were they able to fire because he sabotaged every single gun in the Nazi planes. Now, when the war ended, he was brought to Israel, and he helped in the very first build the first planes in the Israeli Air Force with Azar Weitzman.
Oh, my.
And it's just an unbelievable story.
The hand of God.
The hand of God just.
The hand of God.
So, you know, and I tell you one more thing about it. I brought him to my synagogue in Florida, and I introduced him to another survivor. Now, survivors have a way of talking to each other that no one else can talk to them. So they start to talk in Yiddish, which is like a German, which is a mix of German, Dutch. And they're talking, it's a Jewish line. They call it Jewish or Yiddish.
It's kind of Hebrew, Dutch, and German.
It's Hebrew, Dutch, German. It's a mix of these. So they're talking to each other, and I'm listening to them. And I don't speak Yiddish, but I can understand. And one of them says to the other, he says in Yiddish, he says, "Where was the Ribbono Shel Olam? Where was God during the Holocaust?" So my wife's uncle looks at him, and without batting an eyelash, says to him, "He was very busy saving me."
Yes. You know, we were watching this, it's a series that I went to visit my son-in-law, Tom and Shelley, and it's called Against All Odds, and it has to do with the rebirth of Israel, mm-hmm. and the miracles, the many miracles that happened with that. And in it, it tells about how the Germans heard singing when the people were about to be killed en masse. They heard them singing. And what they were singing was, "Anima Amin, Anima Amin, Be'emunah Shlema." I believe with complete faith in the coming of the Mashiach. And then what does the rest of it say?
Afal pi sheyitmameh, even though he may be delayed, im kol zeh achakelo, nevertheless, I will wait for him.
Yes.
Those are the words. By the way, the Nazis knew those
words. He will
come.
Sheyavo.
Sheyavo.
He will come.
And the Nazis knew those songs. They could recite those words because they heard it over and over on the lips of Jews as they were being gassed in the last moments.
Now, isn't that amazing? That's one of the tenets of faith, of the Jewish faith.
One of the 13 principles
of faith. I believe with complete faith in the coming of the Mashiach. And even though he delays his coming, I believe that he will come.
Bechol yom sheyavo, that every day.
Sheyavo.
That's right, exactly.
And what was kol yom?
Bechol yom, every day, sheyavo, that he can come.
I believe every day that he can come.
That's right, every moment.
And so they died saying that.
That's right. And I'll tell you.
That means they died in faith.
They died with faith with those words on their lips and the words of the Shema Yisrael of Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord mm-hmm. is one, which I will tell you, we only have a couple minutes left, but this story, if this doesn't make the listeners cry, nothing will. This story is so powerful. There were many Jewish families that they knew what was happening, so they gave their babies, their children over to Gentiles, to non-Jewish families to try to save them. And thinking they would come back after the war and rescue their children. Many of those parents we know were killed and never had the opportunity to come back. So there was a rabbi named Rabbi Eliezer Silver that decided it was going to be his mission to go find those kids, to redeem those children. And he went to I think it's called the convent where the nuns, and there were children there. And he came and he asked the head of the convent if he could have the Jewish kids back. And she didn't know who they were, which were the Jewish kids were, weren't she? Wasn't sure. So he left very depressed. He came back the next night. He had an idea. And he said to the head nun, he says, can I have 2 minutes with them at bedtime? And she said, okay. He walks into the room and there's, you know, you can, it's almost like you can picture like a bunk with lots of beds. And as the kids are going to sleep, the rabbi stands in the front of the room and in Hebrew he says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, the prayer we say to our children before they go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And suddenly, 6, 7 kids sit up on their beds and start screaming, Mama, Mama. And so they were able to identify those kids because those kids, they remember their mothers saying that prayer to them as they went to sleep. And he redeemed those kids and he brought them out.
I have heard so many stories of friends that I have met there who were taken into the homes of the Christians, and they had to pretend, that they were. And then how difficult it was sometimes when the parents came back, but then how they loved both,
That's right. It was a struggle.
And amazing things have happened, and God was busy saving people.
My wife's grandfather was saved by a Christian family.
Is that right?
That's right. He lived in their farm, and they supplied him with food for quite a number of months. And he tried to track them down after the war. He couldn't find them. He wanted to thank them. He wanted to see them again, but he couldn't find them. He doesn't know what happened
to
them.
Those are called the righteous Gentiles.
That's right. There's a whole aisle in the museum
in Yad Vashem
for the righteous Gentiles.
Corrie ten Boom, of course, was one. And Schindler.
That's right, Oscar Schindler. Raoul Wallenberg.
These are some of the famous ones. And then there are many right now. Multitudes of us who have been called to bless Israel. Now, it's so important for our nation. We're going to talk about some of these things next week, Rabbi, if you don't mind to do another week with us.
Sure.
We want to...
I'm loving this.
Good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we may get to let you tell a joke or two because he was named the funniest rabbi. That's so we got to see some of that, don't we, from a funny rabbi. And so we...
Christians joke too? They do
that? Are you kidding? Oh, yes, we do. We have a lot of jokes.
Okay.
Sometimes we have those jokes that say a Christian, and a Jew,
a rabbi, and a
priest. Yeah. So anyway, there's lots of funny things about that. But we'll be seeing you next week. And since this is Friday and Shabbat, we say to you Shabbat Shalom. And it brings a special peace, the Sabbath peace. And so we will be with you after the Jewish Shabbat and the Christian, which we are on Sunday, and we will be with you next Monday. We want you to come back with us. This is Billy Brim and Rabbi Moshe saying, Shalom, Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Until Monday.